Surya Kumar Yadav finally got to bat. He came to the crease, hit a six of the first ball, hit a half century, helped India to 185 for eight. England almost got close. Eight runs the margin, but India have leveled the series 2-2. And we will have a very, very interesting grand finale on Saturday when the two teams clash in the fifth T20. But for now, it's the fourth T20 that we want to talk about. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and my friend in London, Daniel Nokros. Daniel, Surya Kumar Yadav, Shardul Thakur, Shreyas Iyer to an extent, three kids who just stood up and fought for India. England, I love England. I love how good a T20 side they are. And because they are such a good T20 side, they got to within eight runs of that target. If anybody could have done it, it was England. They came close. But 2-2 now. What were your first thoughts on that match?
It was just wonderful watching Surya Kumar Yadav, wasn't it? I mean, that was the very first thing that you're taken by, that yet again, India's more experienced players at the top of the order didn't fire, didn't spark. And it took a kid batting for the first time in international cricket. His first ball, I mean, what an entrance that was. I'm old enough to remember when David Gower hit his first ball in Test cricket for four and how we purred with excitement. Well, this was, if anything, more spectacular, that swivel pull. I mean, it was the type of shots that he played, but he played them all around the wicket. It was wonderful to watch. And also, you know, I want to give plaudits to Shreyas Iyer because there's this idea that he's a kind of anchor, but he upped his game yesterday. He understood what was needed, batting first. India had to post a competitive total. We've seen the way the pattern of this series had gone before. He knew 160 wasn't going to be enough, and he did fantastically towards the back end of that innings. England will be a little bit disappointed in some of the things that happened. I think, you know, Sam Curran's over went for plenty. Only the one over there. They'll have a look maybe at the omission of Moeen Ali yet again, but you can't take anything away from India's performance yesterday. It was built on the exuberance of young kids, but also, and I think I put this out in a tweet, for me, while we can purr about the brilliance of all those batters, to me, the biggest plus for India is Hardik Pandya's bowling, because, wow, that makes a difference to the way they can balance their side. No one thought coming into this series that he could be reliable for four overs because of the injury problems he's had and what have you. But my word, I think in many ways he was the difference between the two sides, because it meant there was nobody in that Indian attack that could reliably be taken down. England went after Washington Sundar, yes, but Hardik Pandya, just it was the variety, the pace on occasion was just superb from him. And as you say, Shardul Thakur building actually on a brilliant death bowling he put in the second T20 really impressed me again.
Well, those are good points about Hardik Pandya and Shardul Thakur, and we'll come to the composition of India's bowling in just a minute. But for me, the biggest talking point was India's batting. And, you know, we're missing an element here, Daniel, while we're talking about all these wonderful performances. For the first time in the series, a side batting first actually won the game. The toss was not that influential. I mean, England won the toss. They opted to field first, as we had thought they would, as we think it would be in the fifth match as well. But here, I think that's the most pleasing aspect about India's performance. They batted first, they got 280, that too without Kohli, Rahul, Rohit Sharma striking big half centuries. It was Surya Kumar Yadav, it was Shreyas Iyer, it was the two of them holding the batting together like double pivots. And I think that is even more crucial because it ticks off boxes. The last couple of times India have struggled in knockout tournaments is when their top order has failed, when their heavy guns have failed. And they have been trying to replicate those pressure situations. And it's not always easy to replicate them on your own. When you win the toss, you bat first, and suddenly your heavy guns score runs. Then again, that situation fails. And we've seen that situation happen in the build-up of the 2019 World Cup. But this is something that you cannot replicate. You know, you lose the toss, you're put in, your heavy guns are not firing. One of them is woefully out of form. The English bowling attack is so brilliant. And they had them in trouble. But for Surya Kumar Yadav to come in, score those massive runs. I was just thinking about Surya Kumar Yadav. And, you know, what struck me was he's had a long wait, you know, to come to the Indian side, which ended in the second T20. He got his debut cap. he didn't get to bat. The lasting memory of the second T20 was Suryakumar Yadav dropping catches, and that's not how you want your international career to start. And then he was left out. And I don't want to use the word dropped. He was left out because Rohit Sharma was supposed to come back, and you couldn't have dropped Ishan Kishan after that half century. So he was left out. So I was just putting myself in his shoes and just trying to think, what was more excruciating for him, having to wait for that first match ever or having to wait for the second match? It's only been 3 days between the first and second match, but he wouldn't have known about it. The excruciating pain of cricketers like Suryakumar Yadav, who are not your Rohit Sharmas, not your Virat Kohlis. They are cut from a different cloth. They maybe get one or two opportunities, maybe. The IPL plays a big role in propping them up, putting a value on their talent. And that's why the IPL is such a boon for Indian cricket, because at the end of it, Suryakumar Yadav is ready to take on international cricket. He's ready to take on Jofra Archer, Mark Wood, and smash them for a six, the very first ball he comes to the crease. So for me, it was a template of, and we have discussed India's batting template for the T20 World Cup. So for me, it was a template of India's batting. They can fiddle around with the order a bit more. But I think Suryakumar Yadav should be in every T20 India plays this year, at least till the end of the World Cup.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I think actually T20 cricket's moving on to a different place, you know, and to a degree, some of the older players in the Indian lineup up at the top of the order are not tainted, but they were brought up with a different attitude to how you build an innings in T20. The newer, younger players, well, they recognise that 160 is not going to win you a game batting first. So you've got to reach for 180, 200 and take the risks and be fearless. And for me, you know, it's about boundary percentage. It's not about turning over the strike. You know, hit a six, then hit a single. Why? Hit a six, hit another six. It's much better for you. Suryakumar Yadav, Ishan Kishan, and to a degree, I've got to say, Shreyas Iyer did exactly that. Now, if that's the way, if the Indian management can embrace that and show the same fearlessness in selection as their younger batters are doing with the bat, then India will be a really, really tough proposition. If they can trust, and this is why I also say that Hardik Pandya's emergence with the ball is really important. If they can trust to allow those people to play with that freedom and license, you don't need six bowlers on the side. Bear in mind that Ravindra Jadeja comes back in as well, Jasprit Bumrah. It's one heck of a bowling lineup, and it's one heck of a batting lineup, because it allows you to keep on hitting further down the order. And that's really the template that England have put together. England have one anchor really in their side, and that's Dawid Malan. And you'd say that actually coming off the back of this series, he is the one whose place is in the most danger. If there's one thing that England will be thinking about, it'll be, can we advance maybe Ben Stokes up to number three, play an additional hitter? Because they're now at a point, I think, the successful T20 sides, when they think there's no point in boring middle overs, there's no point in consolidation. We've got the power, we've got people who know exactly how to play swashbuckling innings. We could have seven of them in our top seven. We don't need to have four with three anchors around them. Now, you know, this reminds me a little bit of the way New Zealand transformed ODI cricket around about the 2015 World Cup, and England took on that template in 50 over cricket. I see a change coming. And it's funny, isn't it, Chetan? How these changes often happen just as we arrive at a World Cup.
Well, because the strategy is always evolving, isn't it? And England are testament to that. I mean, it didn't happen for them arriving into a World Cup. I think it was post the 2015 World Cup disappointment when they realized, okay, you know what? And I think Evan Morgan, who played his 100th T20, and I think it's an ode to the man, the way he's transformed white ball cricket for England. He's had a vision, and English cricket has bought into his vision. And obviously it's got them results with the 2019 World Cup. And not to mention, they went to the 2016 World Cup final as well. So it's wonderful how these world tournaments always bring about new strategies. But I think T20 cricket is altogether at a different level, because you have so much franchisee cricket that teams are always evolving. New strategies are always evolving. So if you're talking about somebody like a Ben Stokes to open, that is a result of franchise cricket. That's a result of Rajasthan Royals trying him at the top. If you're talking about Joss Butler taking over the opening responsibilities from Johnny Bairstow, that's also a result of IPL or franchise cricket. So And that's the thing about this English side, which I find very interesting. And again, I was thinking just the same when the match was going on yesterday, that maybe England and maybe West Indies can chase down 180, especially given the way India were bowling, the kind of pressure, with especially with Dew around, the kind of pressure they were putting on. But the fact that England can get close to this target, what was the reason behind it? The reason behind for me was any of their top six batsmen, and that includes David Malan, any of their top six batsmen can actually bat anywhere in the top six. Maybe David Malan can bat only in the top four because that's the demand of the game, but at least any of the top six can bat anywhere in the top four or top three or top four, right? That provides a very different aggressive outlook to your batting lineup. Any of them can take off from any point. I mean, even if you have, like, say, two quiet overs, which England did, they were still in the game. I remember feeling the way that England was still in the game while Stokes and Morgan were at the crease. For me, it was not about getting Stokes as much as it was about getting Morgan, because even if one of them got out, the pressure would obviously go on to the other. But if Morgan stayed at the wicket, he can just tee off. He can just absolutely tee off. So why this English batting lineup excites me so much is because of this aggressive intent, this volatility in their top six, and obviously the adaptability of different situations. Now, if I can say so, there's one weak point, and that is, and it's not really a weak point, because you need to have a batsman like that, and it's David Malan. And England need to wonder, is he batting too low at number three for a chase like 180? Maybe he needs to open. But then, can you really use the power play overs? I don't know. So, or alternately, if you have got a good start, do you send somebody like a Ben Stokes at number three or a Johnny Bairstow at number three and then keep David Malan for later? But then you might end up wasting a batsman like we've seen with Ajinkya Rahane or we've seen with Steve Smith. So that invariably happens. And it brings to question a very important point for batsmen like David Malan, or for my point of view, Shreyas Iyer. I mean, fantastic batsman with a good strike rate in T20 cricket. I mean, Malan is obviously number one in T20 cricket among the batsmen. They have their utilities. You need accumulators. You need your attacking batsmen around your accumulators. It's about finding the right spot for those accumulators. And again, when I compare this with India's situation, when I look at Shreyas Iyer's runs yesterday, I still feel he's batting too low. He cannot be batting below Rishabh Pant, especially when you have Suryakumar Yadav at number three. He got, 40 odd runs of 17, 18 deliveries. Imagine if he faces 30, 40 deliveries. If Virat Kohli gets out cheaply, it has to be Shreyas Iyer walking out and not Rishabh Pant. That's where I am on this debate.
Yeah, I think it's an entirely reasonable way of looking at it. I mean, look, when your, for want of a better word, anchor batter comes off, and Dawood Malan had a really epic run of form in which he just seemed to get 50 every time. It goes in a certain pattern. There tend to be people who score 11 off 12, 9 off 12, maybe 14 off 15. They're in, they explode. And Dawood Malan had a series of games in which he did that. The problem is that I think he's struggling a little bit, I have to say, with the bowling, with the pitches, with spin. He's built that reputation in international T20 cricket against quicker bowlers on different kinds of surfaces. And you could see the way he got out yesterday, attempting a reverse sweep. That's not really his shot. Normally, he's looking to hit those balls over deep mid-wicket. He plays a slog sweep exceptionally well, but he was trying to find a method against the spin bowlers. And actually, you could say that really his innings yesterday was what made it just out of reach, that target for England, because the rest of their batters were performing exactly England wanted them to. So look, that it brings the spotlight more onto those kind of players because they have to perform more regularly, because they, in a way, and it sounds very harsh, I don't mean it to, but they're in danger of losing their team games when they don't come off after having that early start. And, you know, we saw it a little bit with KL Rahul. I mean, I saw a tweet doing the rounds yesterday that said it would have been better for India if he could get out for naught like he did the other times, because, you know, he'd chewed up so many balls. And this is a danger in T20 cricket if somebody takes their time to get in and then gets out before they then get going. We know all that. So, look, I think for England, there are two spotlights here. There's Dawood Malan's position and his value to the side. And that's a very harsh thing to say about someone who's been in such terrific form with such good numbers. And the other, I come back to it, is Moeen Ali. Now, I'm not saying this because Sam Curran had a not particularly good game yesterday. It's that England with only the one spinner, and Moeen Ali is a more experienced and more dramatic batter down the order as well, who also gives you flexibility to push up the order if England get a good start. They will be wondering, should we be picking him at seven? Because it's a left-hand for left-hand combination. Are you going to get more overs out of Moeen Ali than you do out of Sam Curran? Does it give you more adaptability on those surfaces? Does it give you more power with your batting? And it's easy to say in hindsight, after somebody hasn't had a great game, well, yeah, Moeen Ali would have done better. But I'm saying this more in terms of the overall structure of the side playing in India. And England are going to be playing this World Cup in India. Now, I know it's going to be different because it's going to be played in October. The dew factor will be different because the disparity in temperature at that time of year is going to be different from what we're seeing in March. We're kind of trying to read the runes from these games of what we're going to see in the future. And we may not be able to do that from this. But I want to see Moeen Ali in that side. I want to see him playing in the fifth game because I just think it gives England a better looking balance to have two spinners and four seamers.
It's interesting what you're saying about the English bowling attack, and to a degree I agree, and only because of the fact that I don't see how a visiting team can come to India and play with only one spinner throughout a T20 series. I just can't. I mean, I do play is a strategy game, you know, where you're the cricket captain and you the simulation. Yeah, I do play that game, and in that game David Malan is a leg spinner and I use him sometimes to bowl some leg break. But of course, you can't use him in proper T20 cricket. I mean, that's not how real life works. It's not a simulation, is it? So you need a second spinner and it has to be Moeen Ali. But again, I like the look of this English lineup. I think Sam Curran is somebody that they could use in place of David Malan. Like yesterday, they could have maybe shafted Sam Curran up the order.
Yeah, at number, as a kind of pinch hitter. Absolutely. A little bit like how Sunil Narine has been used.
Absolutely. So I think these are things that England will realize as they play more and more this year with this bunch playing together. However, now talking about the fifth T20, and when you said, you know, whether they should bring in Moeen Ali, I think it depends on what sort of pitch or what sort of conditions they will have, but also the dew factor, because it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, if you're bowling second, then obviously the spinners are going to have trouble gripping it. And then obviously with the paces, the ball will be coming on really well. Obviously, there might just be a hint of swing early on, which we have seen Sam Curran exploit earlier on in the series as well. So it's going to be a very confusing time for Evan Morgan picking that side, even if it's just for the one change. Talking more about the bowling, and you mentioned that earlier, Hardik Pandya, Shardul Thakur. I want to mention Shardul Thakur here again. You know, just want to touch up earlier in the series, we had talked about, you know, India's potential bowling lineup. And I had said that they do play with three paces. And with Hardik's progression, that can become three paces and three spinners, especially if you have a Chahal or a Chahar plus Chahar, it's just almost so similar. So if you have one wrist spinner plus Washington Sundar, who bowls flat out off spin, and then you have Ravindra Jadeja, who brings that all-round quality to you. He can bowl those two, three overs, if not all four. On a bad day, he can give you two overs, right? Then he is an electric fielder and he can hit big in the middle. So I'm thinking that they will want to play Jadeja and Pandya both, Hardik Pandya and Ravindra Jadeja both. So they can't play three pacers. They might have to play three spinners to balance it along with Pandya and Jadeja. Now, obviously, Shardul Thakur doesn't make the cut ahead of somebody like a Jasprit Bumrah. But just in case they do want to play a third pacer, is Shardul Thakur making a case for himself for the T20 World Cup? I think he has. And if you remember, when the series started, in earlier podcast, I had said, I don't see Shardul Thakur in India's T20 World Cup squad. I think that has changed. The way he has used the slower ones, he's used the change of pace, he's bowled with a lot of heart. I still feel there's an element of finishing games missing in his bowling. But you don't need it when there's Bumrah around. You don't need it. If Bumrah was there, he wouldn't be bowling those two overs. So I think with his slow deliveries, his ability to contribute runs, Shardul might just have placed himself at number four in reckoning, number three or number four, and he could just get into India's T20 World Cup squad.
I would hope to see him in the squad. I think he deserves it. You know, he showed great intelligence. T20 bowling is an awful lot about that intelligence. He held his nerve as well in that last over when it was obviously really difficult to grip the ball. It was flying out of his hands. He wasn't getting it to go exactly where he wanted it to. And you have to have sympathy with a bowler in that situation. But he did hold his nerve, and we saw him do it, as I said before, at the back end of the second T20. Bowled really intelligently, slower ball after slower ball. And it takes a lot of nerve for a quicker bowler to be bowling six balls at 117 kph against somebody who's teeing off, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, an awful lot of good T20 bowling is the choices that the bowler makes in the matchup to the batter at the precise moment they're doing it. And I think what we see with Shardul Thakur is an intelligent bowler who understands how T20 cricket works. So for that reason, I want to see him in the squad. I think you're right. You know, Bumrah is coming into that side, come what may. It's going to be very difficult for him to hold down a role. But you know as well as I do, Chetan, that it's very rare that a side gets to put out the 11 that it wants in every game. Certainly during a World Cup, people get injured, people get tired, people need a rest at various points in a campaign. You don't roll out the same 11 game after game after game. So you need to have backup. And Shardul Thakur is definitely backup. But if you've got really quality backup, it gives you so much confidence.
Absolutely. And now I think we arrived at a very crucial juncture, Daniel. We had predicted 3-2. Weirdly enough, you had predicted 3-2 for India. I had predicted 3-2 for England. As fate would conspire, only one of us can win. And it'll be the opposing team, depending on who wins this. But the series is primed to finish 3-2 unless the rain gods decide that it is time to, you know, come down on Ahmedabad, which is increasingly unlikely. Let's talk about the fifth T20. I don't see any changes. I think India would want to play with the same lineup. Ishan Kishan, I've heard he's injured. I'm not sure what sort of injury that is. I think
it was a little thigh injury from diving in the outfield, I believe. Just a little tweak of the muscle. So yeah,
thanks for pointing that out. But even then, would you drop Surya Kumar Yadav again? I don't think so.
No.
Would you drop Shreyas Iyer now? No. You would leave out Rishabh Pant or Hardik Pandya? No. So I think India have finally found a settled 11, and just for the fifth T20. What can happen is, and this is very much possible considering how India select their side, they would drop KL Rahul for the last game if Ishan Kishan is fit. Ishan Kishan opens with Rohit Sharma, rest of the lineup stays the same. That is the most that could happen with the Indian team. How do you see England lining up in that fifth? You've already mentioned they would want to go in with Moeen Ali, and your thoughts on the fifth T20 and our predictions.
Do you know, I don't know, because I keep on waiting for dear old Moeen Ali to get a game and he doesn't get one. He's had one test match. He picked up quite a few wickets, didn't bowl brilliantly, but
let me just say, I just need an English journalist to go and speak with Joe Root after Moeen Ali went home to rest for this T20 series, which he's not played till yet.
Well, exactly. And he's an anomaly in this side. I don't know why he's not playing. I suspect that he might not be picked again because, and not forever. I mean, in the fifth game, because I get the feeling that, you know, Owen Morgan's been putting out the side that he wants, that he thinks is going to win. He wants to win this series really badly. It's clear that just because England lost that game, I mean, you know, they were in it for long stretches of it. They could easily have won it. It's what we'd expect to see when the two best T20 sides come up against each other. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are, in fact, no changes, provided, you know, Mark Wood comes through okay. He had that bruised heel, of course, it kept him out of the second game, but he looks like he's fit and firing. I think they think that they've got that lineup that they want. They just need from Dawid Malan a bit more fluency. Otherwise, you know, there's nothing really to change. I think poor old Moeen will be left out. And as for the end result, as I said right at the beginning of this series, to me, it's like 51-49. The two sides are so well matched, and the difference, the tiny bit of difference, is the home advantage. And so I stick by my prediction. I think India will scrape through and win it 3-2. That's, as I said before, not a reflection on England. I don't think that means because I think England are a worse side. It's just I've got to choose between the two. There's nothing between them. India at home. They've won their last game. They're on a roll. I think they're going to do it.
I'll agree with you on the 51-49 bit, but I'll just disagree on the fact that who's ahead. And I think it's England who's ahead, because I think they have a more settled side. Unless they make those changes, they don't bring in those variables. It's India who have too many variables, whether their top order is scoring, whether they get the balance right, whether they don't tinker too much, because Virat Kohli is prone to tinkering with his playing 11. I mean, I'm expecting no change, or maybe the one change with Ishan Kishan coming in for KL Rahul, but you know, he could go in and make three changes. You never know what happens with Virat Kohli's captaincy hat, really. He keeps on tinkering. So it's very unpredictable. And because of that unpredictability, because of that volatility, for me, it's 51-49 in England's favor, because look, they've done so well. They've lost two games, but those games have come down not to team performances, but to individual performances. And on the day when it matters in any sport, be it cricket, be it football, be it any sport, you know, team performance matters out. For me, for you, it's 3-2 to India. For me, it's 3-2 to England. We know it's going to finish 3-2. It's just going to be who finishes ahead of the other team. As you mentioned, both of them contenders for the T20 World Cup. Obviously, both of them want to win it, get that trophy in the bag, get that win in the bag, and increase the confidence. There'll be lots more to chat about. There'll be lots more to talk about. There's an ODI series in the offing as well. And we'll come back to you after the fifth T20 to see who's been proven wrong and who's been proven right, and talk everything regarding the T20 cricket action that we've witnessed in these five T20s. Until next time, it's Chetan Arora and Daniel Norcross signing off. Goodbye.
Goodbye.